Hey, welcome to Long Distance Sisters.
I'm Tori.
I'm McKenna.
And I'm Serena.
Come chat with us while we're far apart.
Okay, let's get started. Okay, welcome to another episode. I'm Serena.
I'm Tori.
I'm Serena.
They already say our names in the intro.
Okay, well, I just don't know how to start. I don't know what episode it is. I don't care. We're talking about studying abroad, away, not too far away, not too long away, experiences we did in college.
Alternative
studies.
Experiential learning is what UGA called it.
Here we go. Experiential learning. I'll take that.
McKenna, Tori, and I all had different ones for different durations and different places. Who did theirs first? I feel like McKenna did hers first.
I think so.
Yeah.
So for 2 weeks, summer 2017, and 2 weeks, summer 2018. So right after my freshman and sophomore years of college, I did a pre-veterinary internship in South Africa. I was in the Eastern Cape, so like basically the opposite side of Cape Town. Side of the country from Cape Town. The area was known as the Wild Coast. We worked with small animals like dogs, cats, and like different communities, like really impoverished communities at small animal clinics. And then sometimes we even went to the impoverished communities and set up like a spay neuter drive so they could get their animals spayed or neutered for really cheap, which was a government program. And I think every vet that wants to practice in South Africa has to like dedicate a year of service or something to the government. So they go around doing a lot of those things.
That's really cool.
And then also lots of livestock work, lots of sheep and goats and cows. Oh, and some pigs. And then wildlife too. So we would go out and do like game captures, game counts, drawing a blank, but with all different kinds of South African wildlife. And sometimes we would go to like East London Zoo. We would go and we would like evaluate enclosures and write up a report for how they can improve it. Yeah, it was so fun. I went back a second time for more than twice as long. And the second time I got an experiential learning scholarship, which covered the cost of the program. So then I only had to pay for airfare, basically, which is very nice. And the program costs money. My advisor had told me about a similar program. I was like, that's way too much money. But it sounded really cool. So I kept searching and searching. And then I found this one, which was less than half the price. Still had like great reviews and stuff on Facebook. It's called Safari for You. It's now part of the like Global Vet Experience company. And the money you pay like goes towards room and board. So they will have food for you for every meal. You could also go out to eat, but that would be on your own dime. But they'll have food for you for every meal. They'll give you a place to stay anywhere you go, which we're based in one small town called Tsinta, or if you want to say in the language, Tsinta, I forget. I'm not very good at the clicking. There were four clicks in the language though.
Very cool.
It was very cool. And it was work hard, play hard. Like we went for it on the weekends and karaoke nights.
Oh, what was the application process like? So you mentioned like it wasn't really through school.
Yeah, it was just a basic application. I didn't need any references or anything. They'll take anyone. Literally, they'll take anyone. They're just like, what kind of experience do you have? Just so they can get an idea before you come down there. Even though everyone will still be doing all the same things. And do you have any dietary restrictions? Just basic, bare minimum info. Yeah, very easy.
And what was the process of like getting there? Like, did you have to get like certain vaccinations or whatever?
You didn't need certain vaccinations. They wanted everyone to have a rabies vaccine. Because it is a hot spot for rabies, and we would be working with a lot of dogs because those like impoverished communities we went to, their dogs aren't seen as pets. They are security animals. So they don't always treat them well, which part of the reason we like going into them was because we got to show them like how to better handle their animals. And especially the kids, like the kids would follow us around and stuff and just like get people to bring out their dogs to us, which was, they were so cute. So I went to the UGA health clinic, like my college's health clinic, and they had like a travel section because a lot of people study abroad or do other stuff abroad. And I think I also got a yellow fever vaccine. And then they gave me travel diarrhea pills, which I didn't need to use, thankfully. But
like to prevent Florida
tap water tastes bad. This tastes just as bad, maybe slightly worse.
Wait, to like prevent diarrhea or help appease?
If you like eat something bad or like ingest bad water and it gives you the runs, this will help stop it.
Oh, okay. So the medicine doesn't give you the runs. Okay.
Yeah. But when I moved early, I came across those pills and they had expired last year. So I had to check them.
So you haven't had diarrhea. Nice.
Yeah, I didn't have that experience 7 weeks later.
So yeah, your first program was 2 weeks and then your second was five. Okay.
Over a month.
And this was like a coastal area. So you got to like visit.
Yeah, but we would also go up into the mountains. So I said we were based in Sinsa. And then other places we would go to a lot were Kaimath, which is where the royal family likes to go. Just saying. And then we would go to Hogsback, which I believe is the place that inspired the setting for Lord of the Rings. Like, what J.R.R. Tolkien thought of in his mind. Mm. We went to Grahamstown once for big game capture, which is right near Addo Elephant Park. We went to a lot of local game reserves too. There was a reptile place outside of East London, which is the closest city, that we would go to, and we just like looked at them handling like green mambas and different kinds of rattlesnakes and really poisonous snakes. And like I had an anaconda 6 feet away from me just on the ground by itself, and I was just sitting chilling. But they let us hold the calm, safe species. Sometimes we would drive through places and we just like take a detour. I think it was called Kingstown or something. There was a museum we stopped at. We also stopped there because they had a Nando's.
Sick.
Which we listened to our Australia part 2 episode. Nando's is the best. I'd always tried to get them to stop at Nando's when we could, which wasn't often because we weren't usually by a city. And then in our free time, there was a private game reserve in Sinsa where they would give us super discounted rates the week of. If they weren't booked solid or something, they would say, oh, we have discounted room for like 6 people. So I did that one weekend, and that was the coolest experience. Like, we went kayaking, we went four-wheeling around the game reserve.
So you were, like, basically booking a stay at this.
Like, yeah, like, that's what we did for our weekend.
Okay.
One time, for one girl's birthday, we went to Addo Elephant Park. Most of the time, when we went to Addo, or when we went on work trips elsewhere, we stayed at backpackers places, like hostels and stuff. Which I think was a really cool experience because I stayed at hostels in another country. But yeah, just like the little trips. I got my first massage one weekend. Yeah, it was very, very nice. I felt like I was floating on the cloud after.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is also, I don't know if it was the first or the second trip, when McKenna, we have like a group on Snapchat, and McKenna sent us like hilarious, like drunk pictures or videos. And she's in one of them, she's like sitting on the toilet and she's like typing out like, I am the fucking Lion King.
That was my first trip. Yes. That was toward the end of my second week there. It was karaoke night, I'm pretty sure.
That was it. What'd you sing? Did you sing anything?
I don't think, no, karaoke night were only thing my second trip. But it was at the same place. It was at the Sea Club, which is, I think, now non-existent. Literally no one will know what I'm talking about. But yeah, we guys were fun. Like, we went surfing one weekend, and I didn't find out till after that we were in Hammerhead territory, which I thought Serena would find cool.
I do love Hammerheads. What about Great Whites?
They were in a different area. We actually, someone in town who I didn't know had apparently been attacked by Great White a few weeks before I got there the second time. Some people, they go to Cape Town on the weekend, but they usually would take an extra day off to do that since we had to fly there and back.
Oh my gosh.
So like some girls would go shark cage diving. They just hike up the mountain there and go see the penguins.
I used to think I wanted to go shark cage diving. And I think I'm kind of over that.
See, I think I would either of you go.
I think I would go if it's a reputable place. I think I would go because after watching 47 meters down, like that was all worst case scenario. And like if you actually chose a decent place that's, you know, is safe, then like why not, you know?
I don't know. Well, worst case scenario would have been both the girls died. Okay, spoiler alert for a movie that came out, I don't know, 5 years ago. But these girls like get trapped in a shark cage, essentially, 47 meters down. Wow. But one of them lives and she could have died. So that would have been the worst case scenario, I guess.
Well, the thing is she got the bends. And yeah. Some people die when they get the bends.
So for your application process, you just kind of like looked online for a program, found one, applied, and then eventually got accepted, basically?
Yeah, it was pretty fast turnaround.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't sketchy to you?
No.
Talk about
both. I think it was like a month after I applied that I heard.
Okay. And then did you get credit for it through school, or were you just using it as a resume builder?
When I went for 2 weeks, it was because it's like, oh, I want to be a wildlife vet, but I've never really gotten to work with vets like you can in another country because they don't have the same kind of liability stuff that they do in the States. And I never worked hands-on with wildlife. Like, yeah, I've cleaned an enclosure at the zoo, but the animal wasn't in there.
McKenna.
So it was more like,
I don't think you're answering my question.
But that the first time was more like, am I sure this is what I want to do? Like, let me just try it out for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I loved it. And when I went back, I did get internship credit for it through school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the scholarship.
Any other things you want to share about your time? And we can keep talking more about anything.
There's so much. Ask me anything in the comments. Like, there's so much. And it was actually pretty easy to go there with a dietary restriction too.
Did you see a giraffe?
Yes, I did.
Questions answered.
This one.
Oh.
This is Abby. Abby's a boy, stands for abnormally big baby. He really liked humans because he was orphaned, and sometimes the tower doesn't accept orphans, so he had to be raised by humans. So he loves humans, and we were giving medications to ostriches one time, and for some reason we had a dried bucket of corn in the back, which Abby loved it. So Abby was following us around while we were driving around on this truck and just trying to get, leaning on our shoulders, like literally like nudging us out of the way to get to the corn.
Give me the corn.
Give me the corn.
Did you do a safari, right?
Yeah. I did like a safari weekend, but we went on a bunch of safaris for like work.
Aww.
That's at me right next to Abby.
Aww.
But yeah, Abby was in People magazine once too for crashing wedding photos. You can find Abby at Arena Game Reserve, A-R-E-E-N-A. The one I did the weekend safari at is called Inkling Crazy.
Okay, Tori, you have a different study abroad experience than that, even though maybe it's not the typical one. It was a little short, but that's all you could really do with your program.
It wasn't really study abroad per se. It was like an alternative spring break. not one of service, but one like for learning. So I am a physical therapist. So when I was in PT school, our school had a program where they would send a group of students over to a school in Switzerland to kind of get a taste of their PT program. And then they would come to our school for a week and get a feel for an American PT program. So I went to Lausanne, Switzerland, near, well, it's on Lake Geneva in the Alps and in like the French part of Switzerland, because they actually speak like four different languages in Switzerland. They speak French, German, Italian, and then this like old Swiss language that only people in the mountains speak or something. Yeah.
People in the mountains. Yes.
And so we went there and we just attended special lectures that their professors put on for us. We did like a project, like a research project. I mean, we were only there for a little over a week, but we did like a little mini research project with some of their professors. And their school is like a part of a medical university that's attached to like a hospital. So we spent a few days like shadowing PTs in the hospital, which was cool to see how a hospital runs in a different country, because it was pretty different from ours. I observed the cardiac unit and the ICU. One day I got sent out to like a rehab center, which was really, it was really weird, because some people went and shadowed at different facilities, or like one girl went and did like home health shadowing with just like a stranger. They just sent us off and we're like, all right, like be back here at 8 o'clock. And we're like, where do we go? What? Like everything's French. Like, but we all figured it out. And we were going alone because we weren't paired up or anything. We just were like, go alone to this part.
Oh gosh.
So it's kind of scary, but fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. Had some independence, but it was a lot of play and very little work. Like we would work during the day, like the shadowing and the lectures and stuff. And then like the afternoon and the evening, we'd be, you know, out on the town or doing an activity. The school set up a lot of stuff for us. So like we went to a winery with them, and there's an Olympic park there. We went up into the Alps one day, like took a train up the Swiss Alps and had lunch at the top. It was really, really pretty and cool and covered in snow. And it was interesting to learn about a different insurance system, a different healthcare system, a different university system, and just different like culture. Switzerland is amazing. Like I loved it there, but they are like a very privileged country. They have like a lot of middle upper class people, not a lot of lower class, and so their health system reflects that. But it was interesting to learn about.
So was it just a part of your program, like the kids in the PT program could just like sign up for it if they wanted to go? Did you have to apply?
Yeah, well, so with our program, because it's a doctorate program, we have to do like a research project. So it's kind of like in place of having like a thesis, we do like group research projects. And so the group going to Switzerland is like one of the research projects, because we kind of prepared something to present while we were in Switzerland and then work with the professors there, like on that topic. And then kind of bring what we learned there back to present at like the research fair at our school, or whatever you call it, I don't know, expo. So it's like everyone in the whole program kind of applies to different research projects that are going on. Like everyone has to participate in research that a professor is doing. And so the Switzerland group is just one of the options. So anyone could apply. Our research topic was on juvenile arthritis. We kind of got off easy, I'll admit. Yeah, but so we got credit because you had to do a project to graduate, and it was like one of our, I forget, like a seminar class or whatever, where you only have it like for an hour, like once a week or something. Like not a lot of class time, like but you get credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite part of your whole trip? School or no school?
growing up in the Alps was amazing. And it was just a lot of fun. Like our group, there was about, I don't remember, maybe 12 of us, I want to say, maybe more than that. 12 of us, and then all of the Swiss PT kids, which we were with like a cohort of like 50 kids maybe mm-hmm. over there. And they didn't all come to Boston when like their exchange happened, but we hung out with all of them there. And like, they hung out with us every night. They went to the bars with us. Like, they were like, we're gonna show you a good time. Like, they aww. Like took us under their wing, and they were all so fun. And like, the language barrier really wasn't a problem. A lot of people there speak English. They can like drink in their school cafeteria. They just bring alcohol.
Oh my God.
So we like literally one night we all pre-gamed like to go out in the school cafeteria. You can just meet there and bring alcohol and have a party like on your own time. And they like did a raclette for us, which is like, it's like a cheese, but raclette really is the name for like the style of cooking the cheese. It's kind of like saying you're having a barbecue. It's like the event is called a barbecue, and you're doing barbecue and you're eating barbecue. Like, you know, it's raclette is like the equivalent, but it's with cheese. So they did a raclette for us and like cooked all the cheese and potatoes, and it was a lot of fun. So it was fun just immersing in the culture for a week, because we were doing touristy things, but we were staying in a hostel. It wasn't a super touristy like city, like it's a kind of small city, and we're like hanging out at a university, and so it was pretty immersive for only being there a week or so. So it was fun.
And then I remember when you came back, because I guess I was still in high school at this point. And so I remember you came back, and like, I guess you were just telling mama all about the like raclette and everything. And she was like, I need cheese. And she immediately like made fondue for dinner. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Like everything they eat there was like cheese and potatoes. It was great.
Yeah.
I was researching ahead of time, because I was like, am I going to like any, like, I don't know what the food is. Like, what am I going to be eating? And then everything was like cheese, potatoes. I'm like, okay, I'll be fine.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Do you still talk to anyone from that you met there?
Like Swiss kids?
Swiss kids.
I don't still talk to any. I mean, I didn't really talk to many after we did it, but I still like follow some of them on Instagram, Facebook. One of the professors that we had a lecture with is like trains Olympians, like in Switzerland. So
ooh.
Pretty cool. The food and wine was really cheap there at the grocery store. Like the cheese, they have fancy cheese, so cheap. And they don't call it Swiss cheese, it's just cheese.
It's just cheese.
And do like have holes in it? All the wine was like $2. Like all of it.
Unique snack flavors there, like in South Africa we had lots of sweet chili flavored stuff.
Well, they did like the paprika chips, which is like a very German kind of thing. That's all I remember really.
Since you guys were in places where they spoke another language or languages, did you feel there were language barriers in getting to know like your fellow peers or you know people in the town, the community?
I study up on my French on Duolingo. And I was very proud of myself. One time, four of us, like just the Americans, four of us went to this pizza place and I answered a question.
There you go.
Wow.
Before they knew that we spoke English. Uh-huh. At least, I mean, they might have known, but like.
They might have figured it out real quick.
But like, it was something like they asked like, Are you eating in or getting takeaway? And I answered.
That's good.
Everyone else is like, oh, good job. Like,
that's pretty funny.
One word.
For me, it was pretty easy because, I mean, South Africa has 11 official languages. And English is one of them. I mean, everyone in the program spoke English. It was run by English-speaking people. And there were people from some other countries. Like there's one girl from France, but they spoke English. And some Kiwi vet students, because they expanded their program offerings, like a vet program as well. And then like a purely game crasher program. But yeah, no problems there. Sometimes in like the communities, they didn't always know, but there's usually someone who will go around with us who could speak English. I mean, who could speak both languages.
I do remember there was one night, I mean, hanging out with the Swiss kids, like most, they spoke enough English that you could like converse with them, but they didn't obviously know like slang or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to teach them lit.
Oh no.
It was like kind of when lit was like a thing. And they're like, lit? What? Lit? Fire? What?
Fire?
Lit, like, what? You're drunk. And they would just like get carried away with it. It was funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
Leap. And then like they would say that, like, I am leap. But they have like a cool, it's like a Swiss thing. It wasn't just these students, I don't think. Like this whole like song they all sing when they're about to like drink together. I kind of knew it then, because then they came to Boston and they still did it.
Yeah, so what did you do with them when they were in Boston?
We took them to a Red Sox game.
Wow.
They were here at like 4th of July, so we had a 4th of July picnic thing with them. They toured like some of the big medical facilities in Boston and like came to some of our classes and stuff like that. It was not as cool for them, I don't think.
Aww. Well, did you take them out on the town to get lit?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of like over it at that point. I didn't really attend. I went to the Red Sox game and we like partied with that, but that was it.
Really. Tori, they showed you a good time.
I know.
And you kind of like, I mean, classes were going on.
All right, Serena, tell us about yours. You're the only one that did like a whole semester.
That's true. Well, you guys did the DCP. You did the Disney College program. Oh, yeah. That was a whole semester.
And another whole video if you haven't, or episode if you haven't watched and or listened already.
Yeah, I actually listened to the episode when I was at the gym the other day. It's like, I'll listen. But so what I did is, well, I'd always planned to do a semester of study abroad in college, but I'm a COVID college kid. So the time I planned to study abroad, which was spring of my junior year, I just thought that would be a good time and work in my schedule. I couldn't do it. That was last spring. So studying abroad was not an option. I wanted to go to Australia. I was planning to go to University of Newcastle or something like that, which is, I don't know, a few hours, an hour outside of Sydney. Anyway, I didn't end up going because COVID. This is my last semester of my senior year for time reference. So I wanted to do something for spring 2021 because I was just tired of being at UNH. It's still a great school, but I was just tired of it at that point. I wanted to go somewhere new, and UNH obviously had a lot of COVID restrictions, which good thing, because like, you know, I didn't get COVID that semester. It was what had to be done given the virus and that there wasn't a vaccine yet and everything. So my school handled COVID really well, but like it was very, you were just like trapped in your dorm room if you lived on campus, and I didn't even have a car. So like, I was just, you know, trapped on campus, eating gross dining hall food because it was like to take out every time. And like, it just wasn't good. So I was like, I need to leave campus. So what can I do? And that's when I found my school does a program called the National Student Exchange, or we called it Study Away USA, where other schools within the US and some parts of Canada, you can actually go there for a semester or a year if this other school chooses to participate in the program. So I was like, sure. And I met with like the advisor for that. And she was so great and so helpful because not many kids know like this is available. So not many kids do it. So she had like all the time in the world to help, which was really cool. And she was like, okay, like narrow it down to three schools that you would want to go to. And I was like, Montana State University, University of Wyoming, Colorado State University. I just wanted to go west, somewhere different. And my first choice was Montana State, but they already had someone going there, so I couldn't go there. And I was like, well, okay, what do I do? So I like pulled up a picture of the Colorado school and pulled a picture of the Wyoming school. And I was like, the Wyoming school is ugly. I'm going to go to the Colorado school. And so I did. And basically, like, you had to apply, but it wasn't like a college application. It was just kind of like sending over your GPA. You just had to essentially have a qualifying GPA and like the school to check out your unofficial transcript. Pretty much everyone gets approved for it. For cost, what I did and what UNH has their students do is we continue to pay UNH, but we'll pay the other school for housing and dining if we choose or have to live on campus. So my tuition didn't change at all. And since it was a COVID year, tuition costs were a lot lower. I had saved a lot of credit essentially from the spring semester because we were only there in the spring of 2020 for half the semester. So we were refunded on half our dining, half our housing, half student recreation fees, stuff like that. So with all of that added together, the only thing I had to pay for was housing at, oh wait, I didn't go to Colorado State University. I went to Western Colorado University. Uh-oh. I'm sweating. Oh no, I made a mistake.
You corrected
it. This is like the same thing. You know, it's confusing. They have a lot of schools. Colorado. It's Colorado. So yeah, I just had to pay for housing, which ended up being really convenient because it's, you know, to find a place to live for just a semester is probably very hard. So it was convenient that they had a place open for me, an on-campus apartment with my own bedroom, sick. And I got three roommates. They're really cool. They pretty much just had an open spot in their room. I got my own bedroom to myself, and it was a double room, but it was just me and three really cool roommates, all super nice people, in like the nicest dorm. It's like the newly built dorm. It's also the tallest building in Gunnison. It's four stories. But they liked that was their fact. They're like, it's four stories. They had me work with an advisor over at Western to pick out classes and see like what classes I took at UNH corresponded with theirs to see if I like qualify to take certain classes, because I was a second semester junior, so that's when you take, you know, higher up classes and you need prerequisites. So I just picked out classes at that school that I would get credit for at UNH. And so then I went home for Thanksgiving and Christmas because we just had that extended break in an online school for 3 weeks and whatever. And then my parents and I drove out to Colorado together. We did a whole road trip. It was pretty fun. They didn't let me drive once. Went through Texas, went through New Mexico. Santa Fe was really cool. I really want to go back to New Mexico. It seems like such a cool state. And we were there, this was January that we were doing this road trip. So it was all cold. So it wasn't like blustering heat while driving through Texas. But no, it was really nice. We spent a night in Colorado Springs, really nice. And then we drove out to the school that I went to in Gunnison, Colorado, which is like in the center of the state, like right in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, the geographic Rocky Mountains, not the geologic Rocky Mountains. Because different. Apparently, yeah, they just call it that area of the Rocky Mountains because it's like attached, but it's different geology or like different events caused it. Something like that. That's just what my geology professor has told me. So just spreading the words. They were like, technically it's not. And I was like, okay. They all lied to me. My Snapchat lies to me. It says I'm in the Rocky Mountains. So yeah, we drove out there. I did like an orientation type thing with other like usually new students or transfer students. I didn't ever meet anyone else who was in my program. We were supposed to, like the advisor was supposed to like organize a lunch. There were two other girls, but I never got to meet them, but that was okay. But I just like went to my classes and they were all small sized classes And like the first day, I like went up to all the professors and I was like, hi, I'm Serena and I'm an exchange student from University of New Hampshire. Like, just wanted to introduce myself so you know my situation. And I'll have a lot of questions because like I haven't been to Western for the last 2.5 years. So yeah, it was so cool because it's such a different state. Like, I grew up an East Sider. It's like a totally different world out in the West. Really amazing. Everyone was like, yes, they went to school, but school wasn't like their focus. School was just a thing they did, you know, during the day, but like they were really passionate. They would be really passionate, like fishers or hunters, as well as conservationists. Like, those went hand in hand. And I mean, everyone was a huge skier, snowboarder, snowshoer, ice fisher, dog sledder, like literally like very passionate about the outdoors, in the classroom and in all their free time. Literally, like the Duck Boys, which was just a group of duck hunters, in my ornithology class, like went out at 4 a.m. before an 8 a.m. class to go duck hunting or check their traps or whatever they were doing. Okay, weird, not my thing. School doesn't start till 8 a.m. But no, it was really cool, and I just got really immersed in the program. All the professors knew me. It was really cool. I got to do a research project. Like, I just asked a professor if she needed help with anything. She was like, yes, let me give you this extremely tedious task. I was like, okay. But that was really fun. We did like camping trips for the classes, which were very brutal. Oh my God. So it was, yeah. Those were like terrible weekends. The geology one was a little better because we had like a set campground and like nice bathrooms that were heated, because it was, well, we were in Utah for the first trip and it was end of March, beginning of April in Utah. And like, that may not sound like it's bad, but during the day it's not terrible, but at night it's bad because it's the desert and it's dry. So at night it gets very cold. And I did not have an appropriate sleeping bag at all. I had maybe like a 50 degree sleeping bag, and I needed like a below freezing sleeping bag, which I have one. It was just in New Hampshire. So I refused to buy a better one because I was like, no, we're going to make it work. And I even had another classmate of mine. I didn't really know her. She sat at my table with me. That's all I got. But she didn't have a tent. And we were like, driving to Utah, and she was like, oh no, from a tent. And I was like, ew, I know. So like, girl, you don't have a tent. And I was like, well, I have a two-person tent, you can sleep in mine with me. Yeah. She had a sleeping bag and stuff, but a two-person tent is really like a one-person tent with some wiggle room. So we were like sardined in there, and it was still cold. It would wake me up because I would get so cold. Like, it was like, wow. But it was okay. And then literally the next weekend after that was an ornithology camping trip. And this was terrible. My professor for that class was on another level. He's a great person, but this trip was terrible. First of all, it like snowed. It snowed before we even set up our tents. So we had to set up our tents on snow while it's snowing. And then it snowed the whole night.
Why didn't they think this was a good time to go camping?
I don't know. We didn't set up our like tents until like maybe 10 p.m. at night, because we had to go drive around and look at birds, because that's what we do. We go drive around, we look at birds.
At night?
Yes, there's birds at night.
You can't see them.
Well, we went to dinner at like 8, so I don't know. But we were not at a campground. We were at, so we drove 3 hours to get to this place. It was just in Colorado. It's called the Mona Vista Valley or whatever. And so a girl in that class, her parents live there. So we set up our tents in her parents' yard. And so like, we were like allowed to like go in the bathroom in the house, but I was like, I'm not going to go in there at 10 p.m. first of all, and like wake them up. And then in the morning, it was just too cold. And we immediately had to leave at 6 a.m. to go look at birds. And then we didn't stop for 3 hours, and then we could eat breakfast. But it was very nice. The parents actually made us all breakfast burritos. So that was so nice. But, and then it like rained the rest of the time, and you're constantly hopping in and out of the van, like to go look at stuff. I was done with it by Saturday afternoon. I was like, no, I can go home now. Sometimes I just wouldn't even get out of the van anymore. I'd be like, yeah, I see it. Saw those at the last spot too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A duck. Great. Great. So that was really cold. And I had nowhere to pee or like brush my teeth. But anyway, the point is, if you have the proper gear, it's a nice time.
Yeah.
And so that was really user error. But like, it's just cool that you have like those opportunities to do that. Like on the weekend, like, oh, we're just going to drive over to Utah and look at some faults. Yeah. You know, we're just going to drive to, you know, the San Juans and look at some.
Were they like required trips or?
Okay. Yeah, you would get graded on them. You wouldn't necessarily get graded like, well, it was kind of like a lab. Like you sort of wrote a lab report, or you turned in for ornithology, you turned in your observation book kind of. But there were some people who didn't go just because, like, you know, one girl was sick, you know, stuff like that. I was so mad. I was like, I wish I got COVID. Then I wouldn't have to go.
What was the coolest thing you learned about birds in ornithology?
I mean, there's so many things. The coolest thing,
I don't remember anything.
I'm looking at my bird field guide right now and I'm like, well, first of all, I thought like bald eagles were like basically extinct. Like I thought there was like three remaining in the wild. Nope, they're all over the place in Colorado. Didn't realize.
Down here too, in Florida.
Okay, I had never seen them. But like literally one day in Colorado, I was like, is that a bald eagle?
That was a long time ago that they almost went extinct.
Yeah.
They're off the endangered species list.
Yeah, I know.
Have you not seen feathered friends in flight in Animal Kingdom?
I learned that in ornithology, that they're not on the endangered species list anymore.
There we go.
I was like, oh my God. Like the first time I saw a bald eagle was like with my roommates, because we had just went to Hot Springs. We were driving back and I was just looking out at the trees and I just see this like big bird with a all white head. And I was like, I think I just saw a bald eagle. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, I was like, why are you guys freaking out? I just saw a bald eagle. yeah, that's cool. But there's the Clark's Nutcracker. I really enjoy that bird. I never got to see it in the wild. It's like a montane species or an alpine species, something like that, subalpine. But they have a pouch in their throat to store seeds and carry them like distances away from the trees, like white bark pines, and they'll store them in the ground or just in any crevice that they can find for during the winter or after the winter, so that they have a food supply and they remember where they stored these things. And it can be like up to thousands of different caches of seeds, and they remember where they put these things, which I think is crazy. I'm glad I got to do some kind of thing given COVID. And I think for people who are like anxious about going to another country, maybe, especially if they don't speak the language of that country, just going to another school in the US is so cool because there's so many different parts of the US. Like there was a girl who did the program at UNH and she actually went to University of Georgia. And like, so we had like an Instagram for it and you can do like a week takeover. And so I was looking, I did a week takeover, but like, I looked at her week takeover and I was like going to football games and like all this stuff at Georgia. And I was like, oh, I see this all the time.
All my friends' Instagrams look like this.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you could go to Hawaii, you go to California. I had two friends go to Montreal to help with their French and they did excellent. I went and visited them in the fall. Very cool. But no, it was a really cool program. It was super easy. Like obviously I didn't have to get on a plane with like a suitcase and go halfway around the world. Like I got to drive my car or my mom's car to just another part of the country, but I don't know. It was really cool. And I ended up staying in Colorado for the summer. It just worked out really cool. And now I came back to New Hampshire and I'm just trying to finish last year. I think I would have stayed at Western, because that's what happens to a lot of these kids, is they'll go and do the program at this other school and then they end up transferring, which I think is very funny. Like, I think the two other girls who went to Colorado with me, they transferred even to majors. Like, they didn't have at UNH because I think they just wanted to be in Colorado, but they didn't really have my specific major. They only had geology, and I'm more broader earth science, so that's why I didn't stay there. No, it's a really cool school if you're any sort of biologist in any way, geologist. Excellent program. They had a really good like fitness program, or I don't know what you would call it, but like you would always see them in the gym. They like trained the elderly people in the community, like for their fitness and whatever. Like, they would have them in the gym, they'd be like, okay, and like every week you'd see them get better and better, and you'd be like, okay, because you go at the same times. But anyway, it was really cool. And like COVID was like basically non-existent there, because you're in a small valley in the middle of Colorado, really small population. So COVID was, I think I knew one person who had COVID, and then by beginning of March, like students could all get vaccinated. So I got vaccinated like a month earlier than UNH kids got vaccinated, which was pretty cool. Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool experience. So glad I did it. I do keep in touch with people I met there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I made great friends.
I'm shocked.
Okay. That's all I got. I could, you know, like you guys, like I could keep talking about it forever, but mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, yeah, so cheap.
Yeah, when something is like within means financially, or like wouldn't really be different than if you were at UNH, like mm-hmm. you might as well have another experience. And I think staying in the US can be just as valuable as going to another country, mm-hmm. like, because you can find why, like, vastly different cultures within the US. Like, it's the mm-hmm. same culture, but like mm-hmm. just different local cultures, like mm-hmm. can be drastically different, or just the things available to do, or, you know, you live near a different city, so you can go and explore, you know, and get to know a city, which is always fun. And
no, it was definitely very cool. I mean, it was still like I was still doing school, like I still had right. four classes and labs yeah. and whatever.
And especially for like your major being earth science, like we're better to go in the US than like the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. Yeah. The geology is very different. So that was very valuable, because in New Hampshire, we don't see like any sedimentary rocks here. It's mostly igneous and metamorphic. You can see metamorphosed sedimentary rocks, but that's not the same because they've gone under a lot of deformation. But yeah, that was very cool to get to study. And it says a lot just to have that on your resume, that you can adapt to a new place, mm-hmm. that you are able to like successfully learn geology of two different places. Yeah,
you it was took really cool. initiative to go there.
Yeah, it was very cool. And I'm sure it's like the same for McKenna. You know, you spent years learning about the wildlife that you can find in Georgia, but then to have to apply that to South Africa is like a totally different story.
Yeah
for sure. Mm-hmm. It was totally, because yeah, we were only taught southeastern species at UGA, so it was very nice going to a different country and learning about like the cool animals you always hear about, mm-hmm. but still also learning about like livestock, dogs, cats and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So please, if you're in college, please do a study away program.
Yeah, like look for it. Like your school most likely has something in place, like some sort of program, and your advisor or counselor can work with you mm-hmm. to figure it out. And if not, just Google it, because there are programs, and if you bring it up to an advisor, they'd probably be like, yeah, I can try to get this going for you, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever. So
yeah,
look and into it, do it.
And if you're nervous, because I know like we've moved around a lot, so I was getting the two-year itch where it's like, okay, I'm ready to go again. Let me try somewhere new. And so that's like, I mean, I still always get nervous going somewhere new. But maybe it's not as big a deal for us because we're kind of more used to it than other people. Yeah, like, but if, hold on, sorry, I'm gonna get on that. But if you're someone who's not as used to it, you know, staying in the US makes it a little easier, but also you can ask a friend to go with you. Get someone else who might want to go with you. Or maybe they don't have to be a best friend, but maybe there's someone in your major so you guys can pick the same classes and everything. You can have someone to live with. Like, that's what my two friends who went to Montreal did. Like, they moved into an apartment together in Montreal just so that they had a buddy and everything. And they, you know, had a car that they shared and they weren't, like, totally alone going somewhere.
Yeah, because I know to go to, like, South Africa, the first time my mom and I went to New York City a few days before, so I flew from JFK to Johannesburg and then from Johannesburg to East London. And that's pretty much the route I took back. But when I went the second time and we were just going for the cheapest way to get there, it was like 36 hours straight of traveling by myself. And I got maybe 20 minutes of sleep because I could not sleep on the airplanes. But I flew from Atlanta to Fort Lauderdale to Dubai to Johannesburg to East London. And that's the same route I took back.
Wait. Fort Lauderdale flights will go to Dubai?
Yeah.
What the heck?
The Dubai airport's really big, but I had actually been there in 2013. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know my favorite restaurant here. And I had to go from Terminal C to Terminal A, but I still made my way there. Yeah, we've traveled a lot. I'm comfortable in airports, whether I've been there before or not. Like, I can find my way around. Everywhere will have English, at least as far as I have experience. So yeah, but definitely traveling 36 hours by yourself isn't very, like, doable by everyone. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it unless you are a seasoned traveler. Get a middle row seat, because from Johannesburg to Dubai, that was like 8 hours. I had the middle, like, column of seats. I had my row all to myself. So I could have laid down and slept, but a lady came up with her elderly mother and asked if she could lay down there, and I said yes. And then the woman took off her shoes and her feet kept on getting closer and closer and closer to me.
Oh no, my God, hates, you know, feet. Me,
I hate
feet. Wait, was it only 3 seats across?
It was 4 seats across. So she took out the other 3 seats.
But that was very nice, McKenna.
So yeah, do it. Look into what your school has for as far as programs to study away, or do summer internships or alternative spring breaks, because they probably have programs like that and you just have to find them.
Yeah, and
I found mine.
If your school does, like, some sort of university day or club day where, like, they show all the clubs or stuff you can do on campus, they might have a booth for, like, the different travel opportunities the schools offer.
Yeah, so, yeah, UGA had a study abroad fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Because if you don't know where you might want to study abroad, you could always take a bus sequence. They'll give you some ideas.
Alternative spring breaks are a big thing too. Like, mine was, like, very specific to my program, but there's a lot of, like, service trips usually that are, like, through programs that you can sign up for through your school.
And if you can't do it, like, if you can't give up a semester, you can do it in the summer, like McKenna. But if you can't give up a summer, some schools do, like, January trips. Like, maybe you have 2 weeks before your semester starts and they'll throw one then.
Service trips reminds me, I guess my, like, AmeriCorps would count as an experiential learning thing, because you don't have to have a bachelor's degree to do it. You just have to have a high school diploma or GED. But we can get into that in the Turtle Talk episode, so you can leave me questions down below for that too. right now. And there are but there are tons of types of AmeriCorps programs. And mine's 1 year, and there are other 6 month ones on Jekyll, but some are only like a month or two. Like you could do them over the summer.
So you have options. Mm-hmm. Or if you really love your school, you can just stay there all 4 years. A lot of people choose to do that, but a lot of people also don't know their options. Okay, the quiz. Plan a day at college and we'll give you a study abroad location. Breakfast time. These look way better than the stuff they actually offer, but breakfast sandwich, croissant and coffee, some fresh fruit, yogurt parfait, breakfast burrito, pancakes, frittata, bacon and eggs, French toast, or waffles.
Most days at college, I had oatmeal with peanut butter and fruit. So I feel like the yogurt parfait is the closest to that.
I'm going to choose my dream world and say breakfast burrito.
I'm going to say if I was grabbing something, I would grab a breakfast sandwich, but usually I was just grabbing a bar on my way out the door or nothing. But if I was going to stop at Dunkin', I would get a breakfast sandwich.
Pick your first class: studio art, fashion design, different language, political science, landscape design, zoology, fitness, dance, math, or history.
What the heck? There ain't nothing science on here.
Math is
not my science.
Tori, you were an English major when you started college.
I know.
I'm going to choose a different language because I really need to.
There's not an English class either.
Well, there's language.
I'm doing different language. Bye. Tori, history is like basically English, but true. Second class, literature, creative writing, music appreciation, computer programming, world religions, green urban planning. Oh, that sounds boring. Art history, marine biology, drama, or nutrition.
Marine biology. Yay.
Nutrition.
Yeah, nutrition sounds fun, but I think green urban planning is closer to my major, so I'll just choose that one. Pick lunch: panini, Greek salad, salmon and greens, tacos, sushi, pizza, pasta, quinoa bowl, ramen, falafel. Oh
god, how do you choose? Oh my god.
I really like sushi, but I'm gonna need something to get me through the day, so out of quinoa bowl and falafel, I think I'm gonna go with the quinoa bowl.
I'm doing sushi faux show.
I'm going to say panini because that's what I had like literally every day of college from Rebecca's Cafe.
I visited Tori once and she took me to Rebecca. We probably went like 3 times that week because wow.
It's so good. I heard it's not good anymore. Oh. Or it's like gone, question mark? I don't know. Northeastern University peeps, let me know. I lived at Rebecca's. Literally ate every meal there that I was on campus. The same sandwich probably over and over mostly. And enchilada Thursdays.
Oh hell yeah. What was the sandwich called?
The Rebecca roll.
One last class: graphic design, outdoor education, world literature, astronomy, sociology, robotics, archaeology, photography, communication, ecology.
Oh, outdoor education sounds fun, but I want to learn more about how like environmental stuff works. So I think I would go with ecology.
I want to do archaeology because I think they wear cute outfits.
And I feel underrepresented.
Photography or communication, which is literally your minor.
Communication 101.
What does that mean? What's a communications major?
Become like a copywriter or like PR person, like learn about how people communicate.
All right. Pick a snack: cookies, popcorn, granola, veggies and dip, hummus and chips, fries, chocolate, nachos, pretzels, or ice cream.
Popcorn. Always the popcorn.
Chocolate. You don't actually get to eat it, Tori, just so you know.
What's going to get you through your last class?
That's not what I was choosing for. I was filling the void.
That veggies and dip plate
Like, is that what I'm eating before I go to
bed? It's like bread, crackers, and like some red cabbage leaves.
Are they even veggies? Like, they're like veggie sticks.
Yeah, they look like the veggie chips or what are they called?
Strong. That's not even dip. That's like a warm cheese dip there. Like, fancy. I'm gonna pick pretzels.
What? That's the worst thing you could have picked on.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the most realistic.
Oh my god, I'm going for dreams. I'm making dreams come true.
Fine, then I'll put fries.
Okay. Activity or club? Cross country team, show choir, musical theater, model UN. Basketball, energy club, audio visual, photography club, swim team, campus newspaper.
I did a sport in college, so I think I'm going to go with swim team.
I'm going to do cross country team. I'm finally going to do it because I wasn't a good runner in high school. So I'm going to make it up in college.
We're going to make it up on this quiz about what you might do.
Yeah, I didn't do cross country in college.
I did try to be in photography club, so I never went.
Order some takeout with friends. Panda Express, Smoothie King, Chipotle, Veggie Grill, Taco Bell, Panera, Subway, Mucho Burrito, Pizza Hut, or Mickey Danks. Macadax. McDonald's.
Macca's.
Now I would get Chipotle, but in college I probably would got Panera.
Yeah, I would do Chipotle.
I think I'm going to do Veggie Grill because I've heard about it and it just sounds so good.
TV study break, what you going to watch, where's Euphoria? Okay, we got Star Trek Discovery, The Handmaid's Tale, America's Got Talent, Our Planet, American Ninja Warrior, Outlander, Blown Away, Bridgerton, The Walking Dead, The Amazing Race. Oh my God. Bridgerton.
None of the above. I think I'll go with Amazing Race.
I mean, Handmaid's Tale is what I most like of this list. However, I probably wouldn't watch it on a study break because it's too intense. So I'd probably watch Bridgerton more likely on a study break. Or The Amazing Race. But.
Okay, pick weekend plans. Yoga class, working in a community garden, paddle boarding, tour a museum, go to a party with friends, horseback riding, video games. Go to a foreign film, take a pottery class, sing karaoke. I want to go paddleboarding.
Does go to a party with friends mean go out?
Yeah. Like, you see the DJ? Hell yeah.
I'm going to go with yoga class.
Nah, you're going to get your class on weeknights. Not on the weekend.
Not on the weekend. It's going to give you your results after your answer.
I'll say go to a party then. Yeah, what I always hoped to be doing. Oh, I'm gonna go to France. Me too.
Read the description.
Yeah, read it out, Tori.
You seem to like the finer things in life. You like fashion, a social life, and enjoying culture at every corner. There's nowhere better than France. Whether in Paris or one of the other beautiful cities, this is an educational experience designed for you.
I think that's very accurate. I mean, you like fashion. I think just you would go to France and you would enjoy it.
Eat the cheese.
I got the UAE.
Yeah.
Wait, so wait, is that the United
Arab Emirates? Dubai. That's where Dubai is. Howdy,
girl.
I can help you find your way around the airport.
I guess I didn't answer much environmental stuff because, like, isn't Dubai like very like industrialized?
Like, yeah, it's very like, let's be the biggest and best city.
Yeah, I don't really like that. Anyway, it says, you seem like you like to meet new people and interact with a variety of cultures. You would flourish in a place that's a great melting pot of cultures. The UAE will be an experience like none other for you. I mean, I'm down to go. I'll go anywhere, but like, well, I won't go anywhere, but I'm down to go there. I follow Huda Beauty on Snapchat. And she lives in Dubai, and it looks really fun. But she's also really rich, so of course it's really fun for her.
Oh my gosh, you guys, guess what my result was?
Is it South Africa?
Yes! You seem to have an interest in sustainable development and making a difference in the world.
You need a place that will encourage your studies to make a difference. South Africa will offer you an ecological experience like none other.
There you go. So you did it. So this quiz is 1,000% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You should comment and be like, oh my God, I actually did study abroad in South Africa. Must be.
I'll do it right now.
Oh, you could have gone Argentina. That's cool. Cool. Sick. Well, that's
this week. The UAE is such a random one. Like, I've never heard of someone like
going there.
There or like wanting to study abroad.
Maybe if you're like into business or finance and want to go abroad.
Not true. Yeah.
Well, I put
international affairs.
I put green urban development. So like that could be a big thing because it's a very developed city, right? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it's like Dubai and Singapore are just cities that are built just to like try and be the best, biggest everything.
Have the world's tallest list.
Yeah.
Biggest list.
I don't think I would enjoy living there for a semester. I didn't even want to live in Boston for a semester.
Like some of it is like you want to see it just to be like, oh yeah, I saw the tallest building or something, but not a priority.
Yeah, but
Singapore, I want to go more than Dubai, I guess.
Yeah, but oh my God, the girl I follow on Snapchat is like constantly eating the most amazing food.
Ugh, yeah.
And I'm just like, because it's very like influenced by Mediterranean food, I guess.
Yeah.
So. Oh, it's so good. Okay, well, that's this week. I don't know what we're doing next week. Thanks for listening. Ra-ta-cha-cha. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this week's Long Distance Sisters. Be sure to subscribe for more episodes and leave a good review.
And check out the video version on our YouTube channel.
You can find all of our other social media information in the description.
Talk to you later.
Bye.